Morning, brothers and sisters. This is a very simple exhortation. You won't have to be a genius to understand any of this. And I think you'll be happy when it's finished, I hope. 4 months of the past year, 2016, is gone. And our master hasn't come. When will it be? Well, no one knows. But we do know it will come as a thief in the night. So we must all be ready with our lanterns well primed with oil. Don't ask me for any because I haven't got enough myself. But the more you look or study the Bible, the more you can see how and what your life is all about. It is what I say, the secret of life. It's why you are here and why God has called you. The scriptures give us good advice of what we should do in certain circumstances. Our Father, Yahweh, is deeply concerned for yours and my welfare. He's anxious that you should be happy, contented, and a source of spiritual strength to your own family and, of course, our spiritual family. Take, for instance, the subject of peace of mind in this day and age, when things are or can be trying on your patience. Millions of nervously upset people around the world visit psychiatrists, spend fortunes on tranquilizers, pills, narcotics drugs like heroin and cannabis and so on. Look at the money that those peddlers of the drugs, heroin and cannabis, make. It's worth billions of dollars. And then we have the binge drinkers. They go out and get drunk to try and forget their problems, which they do for a night. The next day, the problems are still there. They're never truly happy or at rest, for the peace that they seek eludes them. We have, brothers and sisters, our Bible, which can give us a reasonable answer to most of our problems and at very little cost as far as money is concerned. In fact, it's free, isn't it? We are so fortunate that we have this wonderful book, the Bible, for it reveals to each one of us a way of life which is beyond comparison. And I don't think we always appreciate the fact that we have this book. True, the Bible says in Isaiah 57 verse 21, there is no peace for the wicked. It also says in Isaiah 26 that those who trust in the Lord shall be kept in perfect peace. Says this in verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 26. You, that's God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in him is everlasting strength. Peace can only be found in God, because with him there is a stability and permanence. We can have confidence that God never changes. God is not affected by any force at all. You know how in our lives things change dramatically. The passing of time brings no change to our God or the way that he handles things or to his glorious character. He is the rock of our salvation. The Psalms tells us in chapter 19, verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were made, or ever you had formed the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. How wonderful it is to have a God that is unmovable, Someone we know is always there for each one of us, no matter what. There will never be a time when God's love changes, or will he stop loving you or me? No matter how wayward we may be, he will always hear our prayers and do whatever is best for us. We may not think it is good at the time, but he knows the beginning and the end. We don't. And we must have faith in our loving Father, for he is the very source of our life. He's ever ready to help us, so that enables us to have a calming influence on our lives. We can have a peace of mind with all this knowledge that God is our Father, and as a Father, God cares for us, each one individually, as his sons and daughters. In Hebrews 3 verse 20 it says, God is a God of peace. Nothing ever disturbs him, his plan or his purpose. It's set in concrete, not like the paper that I put out for the excerpts. It's set in concrete and it happens, and it will not vary or change. Jeremiah prays to God in chapter 32 and verse 17, and he says, O Lord God, look, you have made the heavens and the earth with your great power by stretching out your arm, and there is nothing hard for you. And that was the faith that Jeremiah had. That's the faith that we have, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We know all things are possible with God. Our absent Lord and Master was the perfect example of his Father. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he is called the Prince of Peace, and carries on by saying, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Let us look at the way Christ then lived his life, as he is the way, the truth, and the life for us. Christ is the perfect example for us. Immediately you think of Jesus, the first thing that comes to mind, for me anyway, is his wonderful patience and his perfect manner. Think of how he was always so calm and so elegant. Harsh criticism left him unmoved. Unkind words, false accusations, they never made him angry at all. When he was rejected, it made him sad, not revengeful. Remember when he was on the cross and had his nails driven into his hands and feet, he prayed for those who had done it. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a great example Jesus was. His whole life was devoted to helping and saving people from themselves. Even on the cross, he converted one of the thieves when he was asked to remember him in the kingdom. During the life of Christ, he continually called or invited weary and concerned people who followed him to come and share the comforts of the word. Many times he said, come unto me. He said this with a love and understanding of their problem. A quote we all know is in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, where it says, come to me all you who are weary and have burdens, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ offering to share our burdens and worries, and he will take them all if we will but put our faith and trust in him. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He shall never allow the righteous to be moved." Question: have you any doubts that God is with you and that he will help you? I ask you that question because Jesus was especially concerned that his disciples should discover or have the knowledge of how to be at peace with themselves. Jesus again and again said to them in so many various different ways. In John 14 verse 27 he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christ himself was not afraid of the future, and he knew what was in front of him. But he wanted his disciples to share the peace that he enjoyed because of his great faith. In John 13, Jesus gave them a new commandment that they should love one another as he loved them. And in the first verse of chapter 14, he says, showing his concern, "Let your heart be not troubled. Believe in God and also believe in me." In verse 13, he continued, "For whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And Jesus repeats himself in verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." This is spoken to the disciples, remember. Are we not his disciples? That statement then is really important to us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? But Jesus added a condition to it in verse 15. He said, "If you love me and keep my commandments." And then Jesus goes on to tell them about the Comforter which will replace him. All that time and effort that Jesus put into to help them must have frustrated the Master, for he tried again and again to convince them that they must have patience and faith. Jesus had told them he was to leave them and go to his Father in heaven. In John 16, Jesus tells his disciples that in a little while they will not see him. And of course, they're very upset about that because they thought the king would come then. In verse 22 of John 16, Jesus tries to reassure them. He says, "You now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take away from you." And then verse 32, Jesus tells them that they would be scattered again and again. He tries to comfort them by a reassurance. In verse 33 of John 16, he says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The victory of Christ allows us all the opportunity to have a part in the glorious kingdom of God to come. We've all fallen short of the standard set by Christ, but that's where we can appreciate the great and wonderful mercy of God. We go to John 1 verse 4 verse 5, it says, "This then is the message," "and these things we write to you, that in your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We walk in the light as God is the light. We have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleans us from all our sins." Our fellowship this morning is because we admit that we need forgiveness and we've come to renew our covenant with our God. Verse 9, John 1, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some of it, all. What we need is faith. We need to follow in our Master's footsteps, for faith alone works as dead. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God our Father through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many verses in the Bible telling us how God has blessed us, and then as we have responded, he has opened our eyes to the wonderful plan and purpose that he has for each one of us. Remember that great chapter in the Psalms 103? I'll read it to you starting at verse 1. I've used the Holman Christian Bible translation. Just relax. Listen to this. It's just so beautiful. God, he forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He's not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our offences. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And as a father, he has compassion on his children, you and I. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows what we are made of, remembering that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him, and his righteousness toward the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. May we all be in that kingdom. So now, having chosen our spiritual resolutions, we now need to think how we will achieve them in this year that we have had, the remaining part of this year. We need to be realistic about how we will achieve them, for they are our goals set to try and improve ourselves. We'll never perfect them all. Perhaps we should set ourselves clearly defined short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. For example, say we choose to focus on prayer. A short-term goal may be to pray more than you have been doing. Your medium-term goal may be to pray 3 times a day, while your long-term goal may be to make your prayers second nature, so that you are constantly aware of God in your life at any time. There's 3 examples of this in the Bible which we might choose to visualise in our minds. You'll all know the Daniel one, who prayed three times a day at a certain place and a certain time. With Nehemiah, it was a second nature for him to offer prayer every time he was put on the spot. And then our beloved Jesus Christ, who spent hours every day in prayer and was in constant communication with his Father. But whatever, now is the time to make your effort to serve the Lord. Today, this moment of your life, is the most important time of your life, for you'll never have it again. Every second of your life is important, and it will be the second in your life which you will have to reconcile with your Father in heaven. So we should spend them wisely, brothers and sisters. And you will, through God's great mercy and grace, be in his kingdom to come. So may God bless us all. Amen.